Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of May 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons outside of Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Take up yesterday's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, and more importantly, hear some marketing advice from Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I. Oh, and Dave Dickey will be here, too, with a look at today's ag news on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here are the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down a penny in the May contract at $3.56. It was the only lower trade for the day, at the end of the day anyway. July contract up 1 1/4 at $3.62 1/4. September $3.68 1/4 up 2 1/4. And December corn of next year, $3.78 1/2, new crop that is, up 2.5 cents. March 2015 at $3.89 3/4, up 2 1/4 cents. Soy complex, May beans, 8 cents higher, $9.75. Final trade on the day, July at 9.57 1/4, up 1 3/4. August 9.50 1/4, up 2 1/4. And November beans at 9.34 1/2, 3 3/4 of a cent higher. January futures up 4 cents at $9.41. The bean meal at $3.01.70, down 80. Bean oil, $33.11, up 30. Wheat futures finished a penny and 3/4 higher in the July contract, or rather May contract, for the soft red at $4.81. July there at $4.81.5, up 1 cent. July hard red at $5.09.5, a penny and 3/4 higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the June contract at $152.25, 77.5 cents higher. August at $150.75, up $1.10 per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle in the May at $218.80, up $1.10. August up $125 at $217.70. And the lean hogs on the afternoon finished the May futures at $81.50, 20 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
In the outside markets, crude oil at this hour trading 59 cents lower at $60.16 a barrel. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.99 7/10 per gallon. That's down just 0.1 cents. And the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price about 0.5 cents lower, or 0.5 cents lower at $2.03 3/10 for the day. Natural gas trading the nearby contract for the afternoon at $2.93 6/10 cents, up 3 9/10 cents. And ethanol futures are now trading the lead option June at $1.64 1/2. That's a settlement price a penny higher for the day. Here's what the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up to at this hour. It's just about 12 points lower at 18,017. Gold futures around $1,214, or $21.5 higher. And the U.S. dollar index is down 0.956 at 93.65. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see sunny skies, a high of just 67 degrees today. East-northeast winds at about 11 miles an hour, the gust all the way to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 48 on an east wind at 9. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers. That after 1 in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high of 71 degrees. Southeast winds by then at 10 to 15. And Thursday night, a 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, a low of 50. Those south-southeast winds will continue at 15 miles an hour, and Friday a 30% chance of showers. Friday night, that continues on to Saturday as well. Saturday night, mostly cloudy and 66. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 13th day of May. On the phone line is Jackie Vakes. She's from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Jackie, thanks for taking the time with us. I made note as I was going through the numbers that the dollar had done some interesting things. Actually, the gold had done some interesting things, up $21.50. The dollar at 93.65. How does this all work into the marketplace?
Well, you know, I believe the reaction is coming primarily because retail sales were very disappointing. And, you know, that implies that the Fed may just delay their rate hike. So I think we saw, you know, in the commodities, I think we actually saw some short covering, you know, with the idea that a lower dollar is going to increase exports. But, you know, what are the implications? Well, of course, we know if the dollar's lower, it does help increase exports. But it also, at the same time, works in reverse when South America is being paid based on the dollar, and their local currency is now actually gaining. If you look at a year ago today, the Brazilian real so far has gained 27% against the dollar in the past year. And the Argentine peso, even though it's only gained 2% in the last year, is worth three times less than the real is. So, you know, they've already devalued their currency dramatically. What does that mean to us from a production standpoint? What that means is that where will the threshold be that the South American farmer says, okay, I've already lost quite a bit because I'm not going to get the extra currency I was getting when the dollar was higher. I'm going to start to sell crop. And we know, you know, and especially on the bean side of things, that that's a danger that we run. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I guess I use that comment way too often, but it's true. You know, it looks to be good for us, and I think that's what you saw today in that short covering. It's a great opportunity to take advantage of better basis because farmers just basically aren't moving stocks. I looked at the rail numbers, and, you know, the grain movement has just dropped dramatically ever since we started to do any kind of field work. And so, you know, we need to do this before we have another harvest when the old crop finally comes to town.
So this is for old crop corn and old crop soybeans, you think? It's just time to move it?
I think it is. I think that you have to really weigh where is the basis right now, and in your own mind say, okay, if I'm sitting on old crop grain, how many of the other guys out there are sitting on old crop grain? We don't know how much has moved since the March report. The March report said 56.5% of the corn was in farmers' hands, 45.7% of the beans. And we know that there's an immense amount of beans down in South America. We know that Argentina alone is sitting at 65%. That's maybe where it's a little safety net for us because they have an election coming up in October. They may not move their beans as fast, but if the dollar continues to devalue, they will. And when you look at Brazil, well, we know right now Brazil is going to have almost 300 million more beans available in October than they had last year at this time. So that just says to me that you have got to be careful. You know, our major hope for this marketing, for this situation is, you know, that we get some kind of a big weather scare or a freeze scare or something like that that gives us opportunity. But, you know, basis may not come along with that. So they've got to really be on top of both sides.
What do we know very much, at least about, we know planting is moving quickly in the United States, or was until we got this last set of rain, but a lot of planting is done. What do we know about acreage and what kind of changes might be yet to come?
Well, we do have Informa coming out tomorrow. Last month they were at 89.5 million acres compared to the USDA's 89.2 that came out yesterday. They were at 85.3 on corn compared to the USDA 84.6. I'm somewhat in agreement with them. What does that mean at the bottom line? They use 166.8 bushels. If you look at the harvested acreage, it means about 50 million more bushels of corn available and 32 million more bushels of beans available at 46. Now, there are privates that came out today and said that they see the corn carry out for 16, in contrast to the USDA is 1.746, between 1.980 and 2.274.
Sharply
that's
higher.
2 billion. Yeah. Yes, 2,274,000,000. It's a long ways down the road. On beans, they see 460 to 640 compared to the 500. On wheat, 800 to 900 compared to the 793. Again, everything will come down to what our weather is. And, you know, we did have avian bird flu. Yeah, show up in a commercial egg-producing farm today in Nebraska. Granted, that's not meat, but it is a commercial egg-producing farm, and so it hasn't stopped spreading. It's scary.
It hasn't stopped spreading. It has shown up, I think, on the commercial retail shelves, although I'm not sure it should have yet. That may be as much of a surprise to everybody as anything else. So we'll have to watch that one fairly closely. What's China been up to? Anything? Have you been watching them?
Oh, yeah, very much. You know, China, of course, is the key word to everything. And, you know, their economic signs are not looking good. They announced a stimulus package that is going to try and help restructure over $1 trillion in debt. And so, you know, they're certainly not going down the tubes, but they are not moving. You know, they're slowing down dramatically. And I think that's something we have to keep a very close eye on, because, you know, they have been the driver in the bean market, in the meal market, in the oil market, and certainly in the sorghum milo market. So let's hope that, you know, that they can pull themselves out.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
You betcha. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Now, here's Dave Dickey with a look at today's agricultural news.
Senate Democrats on Tuesday blocked a bill that would give President Barack Obama fast-track trade authority. The vote was 8 short of the 60 votes necessary to clear a procedural hurdle to advance the bill. Tuesday's vote reflected a number of objections. The bulk of the no votes came from Democrats, who demanded that the fast-track measure be packaged with 3 other measures, one providing assistance to workers hurt by trade, a customs bill that includes worker protections and language to push the administration to do more to combat currency manipulation, and one extending an expiring program that provides trade preferences to certain African countries. USDA says that H5N2 avian influenza has been confirmed in a commercial egg-laying chicken flock in northeast Nebraska. A flock of 1.7 million chickens in Dixon County, Nebraska, tested positive for the virus. USDA's latest information on the spread of H5N2 now shows the virus has hit just under 150 farms in 15 states and affected roughly 33 million birds. The avian influenza outbreak is the largest in U.S. history. Meanwhile, prices for eggs and turkey meat are rising. The cost of a carton of large eggs in the Midwest has jumped nearly 17% to an average price of $1.39 a dozen from $1.19 in mid-April. The price of fresh boneless and skinless tom breast meat, primarily used for deli meat, has risen 10% since mid-April, to an average price of $3.37 a pound. And Hong Kong's Center for Food Safety has now broadened the ban on imports of U.S. poultry linked to avian influenza to include the entire states of Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Previously, Hong Kong had limited restrictions on U.S. poultry and poultry products to the individual counties where the virus has been found. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is Director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Earlier in the day, Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, dropped down to my Mumford Hall studio to take up yesterday's world agricultural supply and demand estimates. I wanted to know, to begin with, just why it was that USDA managed to drop the season's average cash price by 15 cents to $3.50 per corn for the coming marketing year in the same balance sheet that showed more than 100 million bushels less corn will be left of this coming year's crop than of this current year's crop.
You know, I don't know specifically why, Todd. My guess is that it has to do with the amount of corn that was forward priced. Last year for the 2014-15 marketing year, there was opportunities to sell corn well above $4 in the pre-harvest period. Early on, even $5, and there was some corn that was sold at those prices, which then elevated the average cash price for the marketing year. for the 2015-16 marketing year, those opportunities really have not been there. And by all regards, what we hear is there has not been much corn forward priced, even at prices above what's available today. So the lack of forward sales at higher prices is going to drag down probably the season average price for 2015-16. At least that would be the thinking in the May WASDE report. Obviously, all of that is subject to how the crop really turns out, but given a large crop, the opportunity for prices to recover very much is going to be limited. So without those forward sales, the average is going to suffer a bit.
Yeah, so it all just boils down to last year farmers sold early. They sold at higher prices. This year, it appears they have not sold. By all accounts, that's probably correct at this point. And they will sell at a lower price than they ever would have received last year. So let's move on then. In broader context, when you look at yesterday's world agricultural supply and demand estimates, the supply and demand tables for corn, what does it tell you about the coming crop year?
Well, the USDA's balance sheet for the 2015-16 marketing year is essentially unchanged from what they were using in the Outlook Forum in February. They tweaked it a bit, obviously, because of the new information about acreage that was revealed in March, and they did tweak their projections of consumption by category a little bit, but interestingly enough, their projection of total corn consumption is the same as it was in February, and the carryover forecast is not much different, and the price forecast is not much different. So in that regard, there's not a lot of new information in the projections for next year, but what it does say is that prospects are for another year of abundant supplies of corn, abundant year-ending stocks, and another year of relatively low corn prices. So again, it's not a surprise because on the supply side, everybody's working from the March acreage numbers and some concept of trend yield. So there's really not a lot of new information in the May WASDE report for corn this year.
And the balance sheet for soybeans?
Balance sheet for soybeans, again, I think when we look at what USDA had forecast in February, obviously acreage intentions turned out to be higher than what USDA was using in February. And interestingly enough, in the current balance sheet, USDA has also lowered its expectations of soybean exports during the upcoming marketing year. So end up with prospects for very large year-ending stocks of soybeans at 500 million bushels, which is about 70 million more than they had forecast way back in February. So I think the market was a bit taken aback by the large number at bottom line carryover 500 million bushels. And you put that in conjunction with prospects for another large crop in South America in 2016. Then you're looking at a pretty good build in world inventories of soybeans for the upcoming marketing year. And the market, I don't think, received that very well. It was just kind of confirmation that we have, at this point, we have prospects for very large and soybean inventories and some continued pressure on prices.
I don't know that this matters much, but do you suppose the decrease in the export number is mostly because of competition from the Southern Hemisphere, or is it because of waning demand?
Yeah, I think the expectation is that China will import a few more soybeans, but the rate of increase will not be what it has been in the past 7 or 8 years when annual imports by China have been growing very rapidly. That's going to plateau at some point. And so with a large crop here, large crop in South America, and a slowing rate of increase in imports by China, then you get this build taking place. And the market is basically signaling that somebody needs to cut back on soybean production if, in fact, these large crops do turn out for this year, we're going to need to trim supply in order to get prices higher than what we're looking at right now.
It's a new era for soybean production in the United States when competition from South America is as large or bigger, as USDA has suggested, starting in 2017. And farmers will have to adjust. It's not been a very long process from the early 2000s to now that that transition has taken place.
No, it really has taken place fairly quickly, and I mean, there's no indication that, that South America is probably going to cut back on production anytime soon. So I think it's going to force some very difficult decisions on U.S. producers. It's not like we have a shortage of other crops at this point where we can shift acreage to meet demand from another commodity. So at some point we know that Mother Nature will even things out a little bit. We will have a year when yields are disappointing and we're able to work down our stocks of corn and soybeans. But until that happens, we're going to see some continued softness in these markets.
That, of course, is Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. There was one other little tidbit. It's up on my Twitter account at this point that didn't go there, talking about marketing new and old crop corn and soybeans. The advice is short and quick from Darrell. Old crop, dump both corn and soybeans. New crop, don't do anything. He says the prices are low enough and wait for a bounce. So we'll see how that turns out and what the rest of our analysts have to say. Stephen Linneber, speaking of analysts, is on the phone line from the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's an ethanol plant outside of Logansport, Indiana, to talk about the cash grain market. Thanks, Stephen, for being with us. How is basis for soybeans in your area this week?
We're looking at really starting to see some spikes. Getting a little nervous that the processor is missing beans and going to other locations in this general draw territory, that not so much on the immediate May demand delivery, but now carrying into June, basis really starting to creep as processors now feeling like they either need to own the beans or feel like the threat there to miss those beans currently exists.
Do you suppose there are many beans left to be owned that are outside of farmers' hands at this time?
It certainly doesn't feel that way, and I mean, if you compared it directly to on-farm corn stocks, it definitely feels like bean crop is a little tight that way. But at the same time, it certainly feels like we're hanging on some, as historically the June-July basis for beans the last few years has been awfully salty.
Should farmers take advantage, and I don't know whether take advantage of this is right, but should farmers sell old crop corn at this point?
With the way basis has maintained its values and remained firm to better, it feels like now through first half June are providing basis opportunities, asking farmers to go ahead and move it and dump that old corn, just as previously mentioned.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn climbers, 368. Cash corn at Delphi's, 360. And cash beans at Delphi, just over 966.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stephen Linneber is with the Andersons out of Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Apple Pie Day. Apples are thought to originate in Asia, where its wild ancestor is still found today. Apples were brought to North America with the colonists in the 1600s, and the first apple orchard in the New World was said to be near Boston in 1625. On this day in agricultural history in 1878, Joseph Henry died. One of the first great American scientists, Henry was the first director of the Smithsonian Institution, where he established the foundation of a national weather service. In 1884, Cyrus Hall McCormick died. He is generally credited with the development of the mechanical reaper. His father had worked unsuccessfully between 1809 and 1816 to develop a reaping machine. He followed his father's lead and by 1831 was able to publicly demonstrate a functional machine able to cut a 4-foot swath. In 1834, he patented his design. To defend his patent against a competitor, in 1843, a widely publicized competition was held between their rival products, in which McCormick's machine was judged the better. He sold 29 harvesters that year, 50 the next, and by 1848, he was in business with a factory in Chicago, Illinois, able to produce 500 machines. With production line assembly within a few years, McCormick dominated the market. And in 1958, Velcro was trademarked. The hook loop fastener was invented in 1945. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest in particular. Farmers would like to get back into the field. They probably need in some spaces at least a couple more drying days because of the rainfall over the weekend. What can you tell us about the upcoming conditions?
Well, you know, it's not a bad scenario for crops that are in the ground, but getting some field work done in some of the western Corn Belt may still be a little bit challenging at times. We do have some succeeding weather disturbances that will be coming across the region over this next week, and because of that, there will be some disruption to farming activity. The first wave of precipitation is likely to evolve as we go through the evening and night tonight in the western Corn Belt. We'll see the precipitation from Kansas and Missouri right up into Minnesota and parts of the eastern Dakotas. By tomorrow morning, we'll likely see some of that precipitation working its way eastward towards the Mississippi River Basin. I think tomorrow evening we'll start seeing rain in Illinois, and we'll continue to see precipitation scattering further to the east as we go on out into the day on Friday. The storm system will be far more concentrated on the western portions of the Corn Belt, so the eastern areas will see scattered showers, but the odds are very high. They will still see field work advancing during the course of the next couple of days in those eastern areas, just simply because the rain is going to be erratic, and all it's a matter of just keeping an eye on the radar, and I'm sure farmers will be able to just work their way right around the precipitation. There'll be another storm system that will come across parts of the western Corn Belt as we get into Saturday and going into Sunday and early Monday. And again, it'll be far more significant in the western Corn Belt than in the eastern belt. So we'll see a continuation of the same theme where some fieldwork will occur around the precipitation in the eastern areas. A strong surface high pressure center will settle into the region as we get into early next week. Should clear the skies out of everywhere. And our probably best opportunity for getting into the fields will be for the western Corn Belt, maybe Monday into Wednesday of next week, and in the eastern Corn Belt, probably Tuesday into Thursday. And there is another disturbance, though, that will develop shortly after that that will disrupt that once again, but it should be fairly brief and light.
Farmers in the northwestern Corn Belt, Minnesota, maybe some upper northern parts of Iowa have moved very quickly, putting in both corn and soybeans. Is there any danger that they might be facing of cold weather temperatures?
Well, this morning there were some notable freezes in Wisconsin, actually, and some of the corn is up there, and the word is that there has been some injury been done to that corn. Most likely it will recover, though, because that growing point is still below the surface, and it will probably burn some of the leaf mass, but it will certainly come back around. Some producers may not like that, may choose to go ahead and replant, but I think for the most part we got through it without much of a hitch. In the future here, we do have another cold surge coming southward out of Canada, but it should stop short of getting very far into the Midwest. Well, I think we'll see some frost, probably down into Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and probably Wisconsin as we get into probably Tuesday morning next week. But I think we'll stop short of any significant damaging freezes across the region, and we'll keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Hey, Drew, thanks for taking the time.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, and helps us wrap up this edition. I'm Todd Gleason.